I'm Christine Dean. This is live from Studio A. We are welcoming to the studio today a guy all the way from Seattle, Ian McFerrin, and I brought along Elisa Milner to play some fiddle with him. Welcome, Ian.
Thank you so much for having us.
Well, it's great to have you here, and you have a brand new album out called Summer Nights, and we're going to hear some tunes from that, right?
Yeah.
All right, well, what do you guys want to get started with here?
I think we're going to start off with the title track off the new record. It's a song called Summer Nights.
Summer nights, and the air is sweet. The stars are filled with jasmine. I got moonbeams on my feet. I'm wishing I could call you, but I know that you don't wanna hear from me. I've been sipping roses, I threw a cigarette. These streets unfold for hours until my legs feel like lead. And I can't climb the tower that would take me to your loving arms again. So tell me why I can't just walk away. 'Cause all my love, 'cause all my love in vain. Shadows dancing in an empty room, and I can smell you in my sheets, but it feels just like a tomb. And I can't fall asleep, my dreams are filled with images of you. Step to the window and throw it open wide. The night then rushes in, blows the spooks out of my mind. But your mark is on my skin, I can't wash it clean, no matter how hard I try. But only fools stand crying in the rain. 'Cause all my love, 'cause all my love in vain. Peace of mind is in the whistle of a train. 'Cause all my love, 'cause all my love in vain. Now the night is restless, it's too hot to sleep. The motel lights are dim, and I've been choking on the heat. My head is starting to swim, and this fever clouds my sense of certainty. The stone is shattered and the light shines through. I slip in through the darkness, inside the air is soft and cool. But this place is full of bones, and I can't wait here holding to a dead man's truth. Jesus, did you die, rise again? Oh, it's all my love, it's all my love in vain. Now, Jesus, did you die, rise again? Oh, it's all my love, it's all my love in vain. Oh, it's all my love, it's all my love in vain. Oh, it's all my love, it's all my love in vain.
That's Ian McFerrin live from Studio A with Elisa Milner on fiddle. And you guys know each other from high school, is that right?
Yeah, more or less. We never had a class together in high school. We had a bunch of mutual friends. We never had a conversation. We found out years later in college when we started playing together that our parents lived two blocks from each other. But, you know, like freshman year when you ride the bus, we were on different bus lines. It was just all these things that where we could have met and never happened. And then I heard her play at an academic awards assembly like the last day of senior year. I mean, it was just right at the end. And then we went to separate colleges. And so it wasn't until the end of college that we reconnected. And I, you know, we were talking and I said, yeah, I really enjoyed your fiddle playing. And I've been writing these songs. It'd be fun to try it out. And so we started playing some local coffee houses and pubs and eventually grew to a four-piece group that we played around the Northwest with. We still play with those guys. And as it kind of continued on, we started pushing farther out and started taking the original duo out on these longer trips across the country. So,
well, that's great. So it worked out pretty well. And Elisa, was it... Had you been doing music like this before you joined Ian?
Not music like this. Mm-hmm. So I grew up playing old-time Texas fiddle music with my family.
Okay.
But actually, Ian, when he told me that he played music, I knew who he was. And he gave me a disc of some songs that he recorded, and I thought they were great. So I was pretty excited to play with him.
Well, very serendipitous, definitely.
I listen to those old recordings now. They don't sound so great. But that was right when I was first, you know, just... kind of just recording scratchy demos, you know.
And the songs are great.
And, it was kind of an immediate connection, though. It was really easy. I think we did our first rehearsal, and I had like a solo acoustic show that I had that it was set up for a few days later, and we ran through some songs, and they were just kind of clicking together pretty easy. So I said, why don't you come out and play this show? And it was like a 3-hour set.
Yeah.
And so we were kind of winging it, but it actually, you know, it just always was really natural, really easy. Found out later, you know, playing it, not all musical connections are that intuitive, which has made me appreciate this one. So
you got kind of lucky right away.
Yeah, yeah.
That's great.
So, this playing with other people, this music thing's easy. And then, you know, some people get your stuff and are just intuitive that way, you know, intuitive in the style that you write. And some people it's, you know, coming from a different background or different passion for music. But this one always has been easy, so it's been nice.
Now, you're from Seattle. Is that where you grew up?
Yeah, I grew up in kind of north of Seattle. I actually have a decent amount of family from kind of out towards this direction. My mom's side of the family is from Montana, and my dad's side is actually from the Northwest or from Oregon, but... my dad was born out in Champaign, Illinois. I was actually born in a tiny town in Watford City, North Dakota. So there's some Midwest roots in there. not as far east as Minnesota, but mostly mm-hmm. out west. But
well, and this is your first trip to Duluth, so welcome, your first show in Duluth.
Thank you so much. We're excited to be here. Just a little bit. We've been driving around town. It's a great spot. I mean, the you know really has that you know. A lot of one of a kind shops and stores and the old buildings and all that, and the lake obviously is gorgeous. So,
mm-hmm. Well, welcome to town. And I was wondering, you know, you've played music from a very young age, right? But you also are a singer and a songwriter. And did you always sing too? You kind of have a distinctive voice, which I think is nice because. You always have to have something to set yourself apart when you're a singer-songwriter, so I think it helps to have, you know.
Well, thank you. Well, I didn't always sing. I was actually kind of shy about singing for a long time, but I always enjoyed it. I was, you know, the singer-songwriters I grew up listening to and admiring were mostly like 60s, you know, singer-songwriters, you know, guys like Bob Dylan and Neil Young that have a voice that you recognize, you know, the first time you hear it and can spot, you know, quickly, but also that doesn't sound like they're trying to sound like anybody else, which I think fits the narrative style because it's just kind of them singing their own words and their own stories. So I've always been drawn to that style of music, and it's kind of funny, when I first started writing songs, I always liked that style of music, but I also think sometimes your singing voice kind of shapes your writing style as well. You know, you have a certain way that feels comfortable to sing, you know, a certain physical voice that affects your narrative voice, I guess, so...
Well, let's hear another song, and then we'll come back and talk about your latest album. What do you want to play for us next?
All we're going to do, Come See Me Before You Go. This one definitely has some influence showing through Dylan and Neil Young. It's a song about kind of wishing you had a chance to say one last thing to some folks that you might not see again.
Please come see me before you go. Please come see me before you go. A sweet soft words running right in my head are the words I meant but I never said. You crawled off into another man's bed. Ain't that just the way it goes? I heard that you might be leaving town. I just wanted you to know. So please, come see me before you go. Whiskey clouds rolling round in my brain. Let me silence the voices that are making me feel crazy. But you know I never could forget your name, baby. I got it written in my heart. I'm wrapping up in lace for you, tied up in ribbons and in bows. So please, come see me before you go. Please, come see me before you go. Sky hangs low, red and black. You can fly away, but you can't get back. It's always different than before you left. Well, that's one thing that I know. So before heaven opens up its gates for you, before those trumpets start to blow, please come see me before you go. Please come see me before you go. honey, please come see me before you go. Please come see me before you go.
That's Ian McFerrin live from Studio A, another cut from his Summer Nights album, latest from him. Now, Ian, this is your sixth recorded album? I mean, what is it? There's live and then there's, what's the other? Studio album. That's what I'm trying to remember.
we started out the first couple just with kind of people we knew that had recording equipment. And then by the third one, we started working with some folks in studios in Seattle. But that was great. Actually, our third and fourth and fifth album we did in Seattle in studios. And, I felt like there was always kind of a interesting combination of backgrounds and influences coming through. Cause Seattle has a lot of, a rock scene and, nowadays it's a lot of indie rock, but I always kind of want to get something a little bit more, in the roots kind of, with the roots backbone. And as we've been traveling around, we reconnected with a guy that we met years ago in the Northwest, opening a couple shows for Patty Griffin, named Doug Lancia, who plays guitar for her and for John Hyatt. And he had said, if you're ever in Nashville, look me up. And 5 years later, I did, and I saw that he had just opened a new studio. He and Patty opened a studio there. And so I emailed him and said, we're coming through and looking to record another album, and boy, the studio looks great, and we'd love to check it out. And so the timing kind of just worked out, and over the course of months, kept in touch and put it together. And the two of us flew down in January and tracked the album. And he brought in a backing band, and we got Brad Pemberton from Ryan Adams' band, The Cardinals, played drums, and Billy Mercer, who actually played bass for Ryan Adams for a while, but also Todd Snyder, Mindy Smith, and a piano player who was actually from Seattle named Micah Holcher, who's just an excellent piano and B3. So it was just it was a really fun group, and we all tracked, all six of us tracked live in the studio together, and we recorded a tape, and we just went for takes, and so little to no editing, a punch here and there if somebody missed a change, but... really wanted to go for the organic, the approach that people took in the 60s because they didn't have any other choice, but it was that method that just created these warm, rich, organic sounding records. So it was a lot of fun. It was kind of special for me too, because I there was a concert I went to years ago when I was studying at the University of Washington. We were studying in Belfast, and I heard Ryan Adams was coming to Ireland. He was going to be playing in Dublin. It was 2001, and took the train down with a buddy and saw him play, and it was a really inspiring concert. Made me want to make music that felt like that, and Brad and Billy were the drummer and bassist on stage that night, and so 10 years later to be able to make music with them in the studio was really special. And I've always been a big fan of Doug, so
that must have felt just great.
it was nerve-wracking at first, because when Doug mentioned, oh yeah, I got Brad and Billy, and I was like, I knew exactly who they were, but it was fun. We were setting up the first day before tracking, Brad was setting up drums, we were doing mic check and stuff, and so we had a day to kind of settle in, and then it was amazing how easy it was. There was this kind of just sense of camaraderie, partly just because they were all just really, really neat folks in addition to being talented musicians, and after a while it just kind of felt like a group, mm-hmm. and it was, I think that really bled into the music too. You can hear that everybody's, there's a warmth and a working together kind of aspect to the album, I feel like. And I like that you can hear it's all real time, and so you can hear people responding to a lick or interacting and engaging with one another, which I really like about it too. So,
well, that's great. And did you tell them the story of seeing them?
I did. They said, yeah, that was us, and you were at that show. That's so crazy, and You know, it was neat because, you know, I'm still a fan of their playing, but we all kind of became friends over the course of the project, and so looking forward to staying in touch with those guys as well. Maybe another record down the road. Who knows?
Mm-hmm. So. You mentioned earlier, you know, some artists that you like, Neil Young, Bob Dylan, of course, some of the greats, and they're artists where the words matter as much as the music, and that's something that's important to you too. How long have you been writing songs?
I've been writing songs since I was about 16 when I first started taking a crack at, you know, I started writing music, instrumental music, when I was a little kid. We had a piano that nobody played that was, I think my grandpa either won at a bar or got from a bar, and it was just kind of wedged under the stairs. And very little age, I remember climbing up there, and I liked just playing with sounds. But there's more, I think, a convergence of a really great creative writing teacher I had in high school and a poetry class that really struck me, both the poetry that we were reading and kind of the just getting into first experience of writing poetry, and combining that with a lifelong interest in music, and then also reconnecting with Bob Dylan when I was about 17. My dad had always been a fan, and so I listened to the old records a lot, but I reconnected with them a little bit older, and you know, had kind of one of those, like, you know, teenager Dylan makes your head explode moments, like, this guy knows everything, you know, and
he was born here, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Born in Duluth. And actually, we were coming up from Minneapolis yesterday, and I was like, you know, like, Hibbing is just a little jaunt off, and we had the day off, so we kicked around there. And actually, one of the neatest parts about that town was the going up north and seeing where the original village was, and that they have some of the original street signs, and actually seeing a like city where the streets are mapped out in a grid, and you have these old, you know, late 1800s style street lights and things, and there's no town there. It's just all overgrown. That was a very kind of Dylan type image, kind of a semi-apocalyptic, but anyway, yeah, that definitely was neat for me when I was kind of snapping a picture of the house he grew up in. I thought, well, this is something that Dylan would not think was cool to do. But then I thought, I guarantee he's been out down to Okemo, Oklahoma, and checked out the rubble foundation of where Woody Guthrie grew up. So then I didn't feel so bad.
Well, we have time for one more. What do you want to finish up with?
I think we're going to do a song called I'll Come Knockin'. It's also off the new record. And there's a lot of themes of invitations, kind of calling out invitations, whether they're realized or not, on the album. And this one also kind of has that theme going.
Your lips are sweet and soft like silk, but your tongue is sharp as a knife. And even though I stood up on stilts, I still couldn't reach that high. But if you give me one more chance, well, I'll give it one last try. So honey, look in my eyes. I come knocking at your door, and you and I will go walking down by the seashore, 'cause you warm my heart in your gentle hand. You make me feel like a better man. So come alongside me, dear, and this time we'll take it slow. When you ask me what keeps me holding on, well, I guess I don't really know. But when you hold me in your arms, there's no place else I wanna go. So I just thought you should know. So I come knocking at your door, and you and I will go walking down by the seashore, 'cause you warm my heart in your gentle hand. You make me feel like a better man. You don't get too many second glances at a chance to change your mind. And they say that lightning won't strike twice, and I'm feeling lucky this time. So I come knocking at your door, and you and I will go walking down by the seashore, 'cause you warm my heart in your gentle hands. You make me feel like a better man. I come knocking at your door, and you and I will go walking down by the seashore, 'cause you warm my heart in your gentle hands, and you make me feel like a better man.
That's Ian McFerrin live from Studio A, along with Alisa Milner. Well, thanks so much, guys. It was great to have you here.
Thank you so much for having us.
And this is Live from Studio A. Today's program was produced by me, Christine Dean, with funding provided by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Thanks for listening.